I want to talk to you this morning about a journey of faith, a journey of faith. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read one verse, and that's verse 8. Verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went." He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. The journey of faith. In the Old Testament, we find story after story after story about the Lord working phenomenal miracles through ordinary people. And a lot of these miracles are found right here in Hebrews chapter 11. We find Moses stretching out the rod and the Red Sea parting. We find Joshua marching around the indestructible walls of Jericho and the walls tumbling down. We find Gideon defeating thousands of enemy soldiers with just a band of 300 men. We see Samson slaying a host of Philistines with nothing but the jawbone of a beast. We have David slaying an awesome, mighty, powerful giant with nothing but a sling and a stone. We find Elijah calling down fire from heaven, bringing revival to his people. We have Elisha healing poison pottage with a handful of meal. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego praising the Lord in the fiery furnace. We have Daniel in the lion's den. That, brothers and sisters, we see miracle after miracle after miracle of the Lord showing His strength and power in times of impossibility and in times of crisis. That one thing these miracles teach us is that God's people are not at the mercy of crisis. They're not at the mercy of their circumstances of life, because our God is a miracle-working God. And He can do the impossible, no matter how impossible it looks. We see that. And the question that I want to ask us this morning is, even though these miracles are different, what is the one thing that all these miracles have in common? The one thing that all these miracles have in common is that they are performed through faith. They're performed through people of faith. That God doesn't do His works by the strength of man and by the flesh of man, but God works powerfully through the faith that is in the heart of His people. That, brothers and sisters, whatever the Lord does in our life and through our life, it will always be through the faith that is in our hearts. So let's just ask this question with that in mind. Where does a life of faith begin with God? Well, a life of faith begins, of course, with our salvation. It begins with trusting Jesus to save us from our sins. It begins with trusting that Jesus is God's only plan of salvation and putting our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. And then it's out of that first exercise of faith that we truly begin to understand in our heart that we are the children of God, that we are deeply loved by God, and we begin to enter into a relationship with God, that we begin to seek after the Lord, and out of that place of seeking, God begins to open up the eyes of our heart and truly causes us to see Him, causes us to see His heart, causes us to see His hand in our life out of that place of relationship with Him. Now, with all that understood, this is what I really want us to understand. From that place of salvation, the Lord begins to take us on a journey. It's the journey of faith. The Lord begins to call us to Himself, and He begins to take us on a journey where it's a place of having to just walk in trust with God. It's a place where the Lord begins to show His faithfulness in our life. As we just begin to follow the path that the Lord is placing in our heart, trusting the Lord, and we're walking with God, we begin to see in places of trust, we begin to see the faithfulness of God in our life, and it causes our faith to deepen. It causes our faith in the Lord to grow. Does the Lord take everybody on this journey? I don't believe the Lord takes everybody on this journey. Brothers and sisters, I know many Christians that are in the church, and I believe that they're saved, and I believe that they're going to go to heaven as by fire, as the scriptures say. But in their heart, really, Jesus isn't first place in their life. In their heart, Jesus really doesn't hold that place in their heart, first place in their life. And you can tell it just by the carnal attitudes in their heart. You can tell it by that carnal attitudes. But when the Lord finds someone that loves Him with all their heart, when the Lord finds someone who desires more than anything else in this world just to know God and to live for God and just to serve God, God begins to take that heart on a journey. He begins to lead that heart in places where we have to really place our trust in the Lord. And it's out of that place that we see God's faithfulness in our life and our faith deepens. But not only does our faith deepen, but our intimacy with God deepens. Brothers and sisters, it's absolutely impossible to grow in your intimacy with God without living in a place of trust. So when we're walking with God on this journey, walking in places where we have to put our faith and trust in the Lord, we see His faithfulness in our life. Our faith deepens, but more than that, our intimacy with God deepens. We begin to know His heart. We begin to know His ways, and we begin to just love the Lord more and more and just honor Him for His faithfulness in our life. So we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey with God. God knows where He's going, where He's taking us, and what He's doing in our life. And here's the question that I want to ask. Well, is all of our journey the same journey? Well, we're all on a journey, but the Lord doesn't always take us on the same path. We all don't always follow the same path, but yet the Lord is doing something in our life. And here, what I want to do is I just want to look at three men who went on a journey with God. And I want to see really where their journey of faith began with God. And of course, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 8, talking about Abraham, I want to start with Abraham. And I want you to swing with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. So the Lord tells Abraham, He says, Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your father's house, and I want you to follow me. So in other words, Abraham's journey of faith began with leaving the familiar. His journey of faith began with leaving what he was used to. His journey of faith began leaving what in his heart gave him his sense of security and following the Lord into the realm of the unknown. Abraham's journey of faith began with leaving what he was familiar with and leaving those things that brought him his sense of security and going with God into an unknown territory, trusting that God, you're not going to leave me, trusting God, you're always going to be faithful to me, trusting. His whole trust was in the faithfulness of the Lord. He went into this unknown territory with God, trusting that God was going to continue to protect him, that God was going to continue to provide for him, that God was going to continue to guide him and lead him. His whole trust now was in the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord. And for many people, this is where the journey of faith begins. It begins with sensing in your heart, if it's even for a season, that God is calling me to leave the familiar. God is calling me to leave those places where I truly felt secure, and it gave me that sense of security, and going with God into the realm of the unknown. I know when the Lord first called me to come to Mount Zion as a student, many of you didn't know that, but I was a student of Mount Zion years ago, 1995, years ago. And that's pretty much my testimony. When the Lord called me, I lived in a small town. All my family was there, immediate family was there. We was very close. We loved one another very much. I knew when I had problems, my family would rally behind me and they would just walk with me through all of my problems and see me through all my problems. But when the Lord called me to come to Mount Zion, all that changed. I had to leave that place and come here to an unknown place, an unknown territory with God. And what I want you to understand is when I came to Mount Zion Bible School, I was a man that had a lot of fears, a very, very fearful man. And even though I tried to appear strong and appear confident, in my heart, I was just a very, very fearful man. And when things happened at school and circumstances happened at school that really caused fear to come to my heart, I could get on the phone and I could talk to my family and share with them what I was going through, but it wasn't the same as having them here with me. And brothers and sisters, I really had to learn how to go to the Lord and find my resources in God. I had to really learn how to go to the Lord and find what I need in the Lord. And sometimes when the Lord brings us into those unfamiliar places, we have to leave the familiar, leave those places where our security's at, and go into the unknown with the Lord. It's sometimes just because the Lord wants us to learn how to draw life from Him. It's because He wants us to learn how to find our resources in the Lord. I want you to look with me at chapter 12, verse 1 again. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Just stop there. That's all we're going to read. In Abraham's journey with God, you find that phrase used a lot, that the Lord spoke to Abraham. So in other words, Abraham was a man that was led by the Word of God. He was led by the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, those times when the Lord calls us to leave the familiar and those places of security, brothers and sisters, it's in those times so often that we learn how to find life in the Word of God. We learn how to draw our resources from the Word of God. When I'm in need of strength, I learn how to go to the Word of God and let God speak to my heart and I receive strength. When I need encouragement, I learn how to go to the Word of God and draw encouragement from His Word. When I need comfort, I learn how to go to the Word of God and draw comfort from His Word. When I need guidance, when I need counsel, I learn how to go to the Word of God and let God speak His mind into my heart. Let Him speak His counsel into my soul. Let Him speak His counsel to me. So many times when God calls us to leave the familiar and go into the unknown with God, those unknown territories with God where we don't have what we're used to anymore, it's because God is wanting us to come to a place when I need something, I go to the Word of God and I learn how to draw life from the Word of God. Now look with me at verse 2 and 3. He says to Abraham, he says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So the Lord didn't just send Abraham into an unknown realm. He gave him great promises. He said, "Abraham, you're going into the realm of the unknown. You're walking with me now in unfamiliar territory where you have to put your full trust and faith in me. But I want you to know before you go, I'm giving you wonderful promises." And the thing about Abraham is his journey was an easy journey. He faced many of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. A lot of trials wasn't an easy journey. But Abraham learned to stand on the promises of God. Abraham learned to put his trust in what God had said and to stand upon what God had said. And brothers and sisters, in this word, there are many wonderful promises that apply to all of our lives. Promises that we can stand on. I think about Hebrews 13:5. The Lord says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." Romans 8:39, the Lord says that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." 4:19, "God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory." 2 Corinthians 2:14, the Lord says that I'm always going to cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. You're always going to know what victory is. These are wonderful promises that God has given us. But brothers and sisters, sometimes when the Lord leads us into those unknown territories, those unfamiliar places where we have to put our eyes on God, it's in those places that the Lord teaches us how to stand upon the Word of God and the promises of God. They're not just nice little memory verses that we've learned in Sunday school. Now we're having to actually stand on them and live upon them and trust them. You know, every night, my wife and myself, we do nightly devotions with my son, Dymir. We go upstairs when it's time to go to bed and we read a little story out of his children's Bible and we go through the lesson. And Dymir loves that time. I mean, he loves that time. He's always going to remind us it's time for devotions. We're not missing devotions tonight. My little children's Bible is over there. I mean, he loves that time that we have together. But there are times when problems arise in his life. There are times when certain situations maybe at school bring fear to his heart. And when he shares that with us, I always bring him back to what he learned in his devotions. I tell him, "Dymir, listen, these are nice little devotionals that we have, but there comes a time that you have to see that they're just nice little devotionals, and you need to learn to stand upon the Word of God. What did God say to you? What did God speak to you? You need to learn to stand upon the Word of God." I tell Dymir, "Yes, we can come up here every night and have nice little devotionals and all these things. But Dymir, it's not just us about having a nice little family time together. My desire is that the Word of God gets in your heart and you learn how to stand upon the Word of God." And brothers and sisters, for many of us, that's the journey of faith. When God calls us to leave the familiar and those places that we had security and to have to really look to Him, that's when God says, "Now it's time to start standing upon the promises of God." They need to go past just being nice little memory verses that you learned in Sunday school. There need to be a foundation to your life. that whatever you face in life, you know how to go to the Word of God and stand upon the Word of God. That's where Abraham's journey of faith began. And before we leave Abraham, let me just say this. Was Abraham's journey with God easy? Was it an easy journey? No, it wasn't. When you go through his story, he faced a lot of trials. He faced a lot of fires. He faced a lot of troubles and testings in his life. But brothers and sisters, it's absolutely impossible to have great faith without going through trials, without having going through troubles. I'm sure in Abraham's life, there were times he faced loneliness in his journey with God. I'm sure there's times that he faced anxiety in his journey with God. I'm sure there's times he faced confusion in his journey with God because he didn't yet understand the ways of the Lord. And I know there were times the Lord did things that just weren't logical to him. And there were times he probably was confused. But the thing about it is, Abraham didn't lose his faith in God. He didn't cast his confidence in God away. And he began to follow and he stayed on that path where God was leading him. He stayed following that path in his heart, knowing where God was leading him. And at the end of his life, he became a great man of faith. So that's where Abraham's journey began. Where did Isaac's journey begin? Isaac is almost the total opposite of Abraham's journey. God called Abraham to leave his land, to leave the familiar, to leave what he was used to. But Isaac was called to stay planted where he was. Isaac never left the land of Canaan because that was where God planted him and that's where God told him to stay. I want to look at that. I want to look at his journey. Go with me to chapter 24. In chapter 24, Abraham is sending his servant to go bring a wife back for his son Isaac. He tells his servant to go back to his land, Abraham's land, where Abraham's from, and to bring a wife back for his son Isaac. And he's talking to his servant in chapter 24, and I just want to look at verse 4. He's talking to his servant, and he says, "But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto this thy seed will I give this land. He will send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." So what I simply want us to see from this scripture is Isaac's call was almost exactly the opposite of Abraham's path. Where Abraham had to leave and make a journey, Isaac never left his homeland. He stayed planted right where he was. And brothers and sisters, that's just something that I want us to see. But this is the question I want to ask. Okay, he stayed planted in the land. Where did his journey of faith begin with God? Planted in this land, not going to the realm of the unfamiliar. Where did his journey begin? Well, I want you to look with me at verse 63. Verse 63. We're just going to read the first part of the verse. Verse 63 says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." So in verse 63, it says that Isaac went out to meditate in the field. And that word in the Hebrew, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, the Thayer Concordance, the BDD Concordance, it all says the same thing. That word in the Hebrew simply means, that word for meditate simply means to pray. Prayer, that's what that word means. But it doesn't just mean to pray, it strongly implies concentrated prayer, focused prayer. So in other words, what I simply want us to see is that Isaac was a man that loved God and had a prayer life with God. He didn't just have a shallow prayer life with God, he had a deep, concentrated prayer life with God. That the faith in his father's heart and the love that Abraham had for God and the testimonies of God's faithfulness to Abraham put a desire in Isaac's heart to know God for himself. And that strong desire in Isaac's heart brought him into a place of prayer. So brothers and sisters, where did Isaac's journey begin? Isaac's journey simply began with staying planted where God had put him and being a man of faith and prayer. And for many people, that's the will of God for them. God plants them somewhere. And there are people of faith and prayer, and they see God answer prayer. They have wonderful stories of prayer. I know pastors that have been pastoring the same church for almost an entire lifetime, many, many years, and they have seen the faithfulness of God to answer prayer. They've seen little babies grow up to be great men and women of God. They've seen people come into their church that whose lives was absolutely in a mess. They were heathen, knew nothing about God. But yet in their church, God worked in their heart and worked in their heart, and eventually they left that church becoming great ministers of the Lord. I think about my grandmother. My grandmother married a farmer when she was just a young teenager, and they farmed that little patch of ground for an entire lifetime. That little patch of ground. And my grandmother has wonderful story after story after story. Miracles in times when the family was stricken with TB. In times when TB was very bad. Stories of how there was drought and the forecaster said there's not going to be rain and there's not going to be crops. And how the farmers all packed into the church and began to pray. And before they walked out of that church, the heavens was black. The heavens opened and rain began to pour upon the earth. Wonderful answers to prayer. And for many people, our journey is that way. The Lord plants us somewhere, and through faith and prayer, we really see the hand of God in our life. But here's what I want us to ask about Isaac. Just because Isaac was planted in a land, and that's where he was to stay, does that mean he never had any problems? No. He had a lot of problems. When you read his story, he was constantly having to deal with the Philistines. He was constantly having to deal with the inhabitants of Canaan. He was confronted problems a lot. And brothers and sisters, this is what I want us to understand. Wherever we're at in the will of God, we are going to have problems. Wherever we are at in the will of God, we are going to have to deal with problems, because problems is one of God's greatest tools, one of his greatest instruments in cultivating our faith and cultivating maturity in our life. That, brothers and sisters, whatever path we are on with God, God is always going to make sure there's not going to be a shortage of problems. Because that's his tool. I like what one pastor said, a seasoned man of God. He says, every time someone comes to me and says, Pastor, God's not doing anything in my life, I always respond, well, then you must not have no problems in your life. Must not be no problems going on in your life. Oh, no, Pastor, there's problems in my life. I mean, who doesn't have problems? Well, then God is working powerfully in your heart, because adversity is God's greatest way of cultivating commitment in your heart, causing your faith to grow, causing maturity in your walk with God. You don't want to stay a baby forever, do you? There's always going to be problems because you're on a journey with God, a journey of seeing your faith grow, your commitment deepen. Amen. Well, I guess we can't leave chapter 24 until we talk about Rebekah riding up on a camel, because that's the crux of the story. He's out in the field praying, and I've heard somebody say he was out there praying for a wife. Well, I strongly disagree with that, because in the context of the scripture, he's mourning. He's grieving the loss of his mother in the context of the scripture. But he's out there praying. And brothers and sisters, my truth that I simply want to bring out is this. Is when you live a life focused on God. Amen. Amen. I can't help but get a little amused at this. He's out there praying, and he lifts up his eyes, and he sees the goodness and blessing of God riding up on a camel. God knows how to meet the needs of your heart, doesn't he? But here's the truth I want to bring out. He was out there focused on God. He was out there in a place of prayer focused upon the Lord. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the goodness of God. And brothers and sisters, what I simply want to say is this, that when we live a life focused on prayer, a life focused on God, then we don't have to go looking for anything. When you live a life focused on God and focused on prayer, you don't have to go looking for your mate. You don't have to go looking for ministry. You don't have to go looking for anything, because God knows your address. He knows where you are. And he will always provide for a man or a woman of prayer. Amen. So that was Isaac's journey of faith. He stayed planted, but he always had a lot of problems he had to deal with. But in those problems, if you really look at the end of the story, you see the faithfulness of God. He became a great man of faith. Now I want to look at Jacob. Jacob is in a world by himself. He's kind of a half between Abraham, half between Isaac. He has to leave his land, but he does it with reluctance. He doesn't want to leave his land. He doesn't want to leave mother's house. He doesn't, because mother spoiled him. She spoiled him so much she would lie to his blind daddy. to get a blessing for him. She spoiled him. He didn't want to leave mother's house. But he had no choice because bad choices caused him to have to leave his land. He made some very bad choices, and because of those bad choices, he had to leave the land and go again with God on a journey to the unknown. And God used that journey to make him into a great man of faith. I want you to go with me to chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Look with me at verse 19. It says, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be as God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So brothers and sisters, most of us know the story here. Jacob lied to his father, Isaac, his father going blind. And he sold Esau's birthright. And he sold Esau's blessing. And Esau is a man of wrath. He says, I'm going to kill Jacob. As soon as this morning time is over, I'm going to literally destroy him. So Jacob has to run for his life. And chapter 28 is Jacob's first night on the road. He's away from mom and daddy's house. He doesn't have their security, doesn't have their covering anymore. And he's on the run. And the very first night that he's on the run, the Bible says, we know the story, he goes to sleep. He has a stone for a pillow, talking about the hard places. I mean, he was really in a hard place, a stone for a pillow, in a hard place. But in that place, he had a dream. Heaven was open and angels ascending upon the earth and descending upon the ladder. And God simply spoke to him and he said, Jacob, I want you to know something. I'm with you. I know you're going into an unknown realm. You're leaving the security of your mother's house and all these things. But I want you to know, Jacob, that I'm going to be with you on this journey. And the Bible says that he wakes up the next morning. He anoints that stone, which simply represents the hard places or the anointed places. And then he says here in verse 20, he says, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now listen, when I used to read that, I used to always think Jacob is just being Jacob here. He's just being Jacob again. He's trying to cut a deal with God. God, I want to cut a deal with you. That's what he's saying. But as I was studying this out, the Lord began to speak to my heart and show me, Tim, that's not true. That's not what I want you to see. Something's going on in his heart. See, what's happening here is for the first time in his life, Jacob has had his own personal encounter with God. He's having his very own personal encounter with God. Such a living reality and revelation that God is real, God is alive, God is with me, God sees me. This is his very first time he has his own personal. I know he's heard all of his granddaddy's testimonies and all of his daddy's testimonies, but now he's having his very first encounter with God. And with that encounter, with that revelation of the living God with him, he says this. He says, Lord, if you will give me raiment, if you will protect me from my enemies, if you will provide for me, you'll be my God. In other words, what's happening here is for the first time, Jacob is putting his dependence upon the Lord. For the first time in his life, the eyes of his heart are beginning to lift off self and mama's house and beginning to lift up to the Lord. He's having to look to the Lord now. He's having to place his trust in the Lord now, and that's what God was after all along. He was wanting Jacob to come to a place where Jacob says, Lord, I have to depend upon you. I have to trust you because there's nowhere else I can look now. And God is saying, that's what I've been after all along. And in this place of dependency, you're going to see my faithfulness in your life. Now, brothers and sisters, my point is simply this. Many of us here were not like Jacob in the sense that we're liars and cheaters and swindlers. We have a heart that loves God. We have a heart that desires to honor God. But the truth that I'm simply bringing out is simply this. On our journey with God, God knows how to press us into places of dependency. God knows how to press us into those places where we have to look to Him. There's nowhere else to look. God knows how to press us into those places where, Lord, I have to turn to my eyes of my heart to You and I have to fully trust You because only God, You can help me in this. Only You can bring me through this. The Lord knows how to press His people into those places of dependency. And brothers and sisters, not always easy places, because it means leaving comfort zone, leaving your comfort zone, God calling you to new challenges, facing new challenges with Him. It means there's going to be times that fear and anxiety is going to rise up in your heart with these new places and these new challenges going with God. But yet when God places you in those places of dependency where you have no choice but to look to Him, what He's doing is saying this: I want you to see my faithfulness in your life. That when we go into those places where we have to look to God and trust God, we always get a living revelation of the faithfulness of God. And once you get a revelation of the faithfulness of God, your trust begins to build in the Lord, because you have a track record with God. You can look over your life and say, I remember when we went through this, and God, you were faithful. And then I remember facing this, and God, you were faithful. And I remember facing this, and no one had any solutions, no one had any answers, but God, you came through for me. God, you were faithful to me. I have a track record with God. Being pressed into places of dependency is not an easy place, because you're in a place where you have to trust God. But that is the place where you see the faithfulness of the Lord. And they become priceless to you. Priceless to you. And when you look at the end of Jacob's life, you see he's a changed man. But this is a thought that I want to bring to us. Okay, right now Jacob's prayer is this: God, if you'll protect me from my enemies and provide for me my raiment and provide for me my food and just take care of me, God, you'll be my God. But I want to ask the question, where did his prayers begin to change? Where was it no longer me, but God, do something in my life? Where did his prayers begin to change? Well, it's in the same chapter. I want you to look with me at verse 20. Verse 20 says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Listen to what this deceiver and liar himself says. What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Whereupon then hast thou beguiled me? Why have you lied to me? And I believe with all my heart, the Lord has shown me this is where his prayers begin to change. Because this is the first time in his life that he began to realize the pain and the grief that his own selfishness and his own lying and his own cheating has caused in other people's lives. This is the first time he's getting a revelation of what being a selfish man does to people. So much to the point that we lie and we cheat and we manipulate to get the things that we want, and we hurt the people that we love. This is the first time he's beginning to get a revelation of what his own selfish nature, the grief that he's caused in people's lives, in his brother's life, in his mother's life, in his father's life. And brothers and sisters, I believe this is when he begins to change, his prayers begin to change. That there comes a prayer in his heart that says, oh God, change me. Do something in my heart. Do something in my life. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I know this cry. I know this prayer. As a Christian, I know this prayer. I know this cry. Because as a Christian, there are times that I see what my selfishness and what my selfish nature, the pain that it causes in people's lives that I love. There are times as a Christian, I move out of selfishness and selfish motives, and in the end, I see how it breaks the heart of people that I love, and I know this cry. God, change me. I want to be a changed man. I don't want to live for self no more. I don't want to be a selfish man no more. And it was out of this place that God really began to work in Jacob's heart, because that was all he needed, was a desire to change. You can have the Word of God, you can have the Holy Spirit in you, but if you do not desire to change, you will not change. And sometimes God's got to put us in places where you see that old nature. And what it not only does in your life, but what it does in other people's lives. How your selfishness and my selfishness hurt other people. And then put that prayer in the heart. God, I don't want to be that man no more. I don't want to be a selfish man. I don't want to walk the ways of the world. This whole world is nothing but about self. I don't want that no more. I want to change. God, change me. And this is where the Lord really began to work in Jacob's heart. Jacob, you see it now. You understand it now. You want to change now. Now, I will change you. And brothers and sisters, when you see, we don't have time to go there. But when you see, when God finally calls him to go back to his homeland, you see a totally transformed man. He's a man that's not concerned with self now. He's a man that says to his brother, no, you go ahead of me. If I was to push and press my children and the sheep and all these things at a pace that they couldn't endure, I'm going to lose them along the way. In other words, he's saying, I'm not concerned about myself anymore. God has given me a heart that cares about other people and other things. That is the change that God done in Jacob's life. Simply because he was at a place now where he wanted to change. And at the end of his story, I want to show you the faithfulness of God. I want you to go with me back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the very closing moment of Jacob's life. Look with me at verse 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon his staff. And he worshiped leaning upon his staff. Brothers and sisters, you have to see the sacredness of this. This is a very sacred time in the life of Jacob. In other words, what's happening here is the very closing moment of his life. He's looking back over his life. I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of pain in his life when you read his story. There was a lot of grief in his life when you read his story. But yet when Jacob looked back over his life, all he could do was worship, because the only thing he saw was the faithfulness of God. When he looked back over his life, all the problems, all the troubles, all the grief, all the pain, in the midst of it all, he saw the faithfulness of God. And the last picture we have of him is this broken man leaning on his staff, worshiping the Lord. Jacob would tell us today, God is faithful. Sometimes the path that he takes you on is not an easy path. But if you will love him and if you will trust him, the very closing moments of your life, all that will flood your heart is this: my God has been faithful to me. That's the way I want to go. When I'm lying on my deathbed or in a hospital with tubes running in me, I don't want to look over my life with regrets because I have lived for self. I want to say I'm ready to go be with the Lord because he was so faithful to me. Brothers and sisters, whatever journey God has you on, if you keep your trust in the Lord, you're going to have such a revelation of the faithfulness of God. God knows how to make us into great people of faith because he's faithful.